The first reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 16. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 21. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, John 16:23-33. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel today talks about prayer and how you can pray to God directly, knowing that your prayers are always heard by Him and will always be answered, though not always in the way or in the time frame that you desire. The chief question about prayer answered by our gospel is, to whom and through whom should you pray? The answer to this is given in verse 23, where Jesus says, "Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Thus, you should pray to the Father through the Son. In his model prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to begin with the phrase, "Our Father in heaven." This is why we begin our prayers addressing God or the Father and end our prayers in Jesus' name. Many Christians ignore or reject this teaching of Jesus. They think that because they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they can come to the Father or God apart from Jesus. Others think that because they are justified by faith, they can come to the Father or God apart from Jesus, forgetting that they are justified by faith only through the merits of Jesus. Others think that they can come to the Father or Jesus in prayer through persons more holy than them, such as the Virgin Mary, various saints, monks, nuns, priests, or popes. Jesus teaches us in our gospel that effective prayer, correct prayer, is all about having the right relationship to Him. An example from my own family here in California may help you understand this, and this is a true story. After he graduated from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo in 1983, my younger brother moved back to the San Francisco Bay Area. He got a job as a mechanical engineer with a company that makes microwave tubes for industry and the military. He got a small apartment near his job in Palo Alto and started going to church at one of the largest mega churches in the area at the time called Peninsula Bible Church, abbreviated PBC. If my brother had been looking for an engineering job near his apartment, he might have visited the Palo Alto plant and office of his future father-in-law, who I will call Tim. Tim was the inventor and patent holder of the first popular freeze-dried coffee called Taster's Choice. Tim was also a patent holder for numerous freeze-drying processes. I think he probably has a total of 48 or 50 patents. Tim, for many years, had contracts with NASA to supply food for astronauts in the Gemini, Apollo, Space Shuttle, and Space Station programs. Tim also had regular contracts for freeze-drying camp food and freeze-drying ingredients for many food companies. If, in those early days, my brother had visited Tim's office and asked him for a job or any other favor, Tim would probably have politely said no and ushered him out of the plant or office. Then, my brother met his future wife at Peninsula Bible Church, where they were both members. After a while of dating, and you know all that, my brother met Tim and her family. After they were married, Tim watched my brother for a year or two and then asked him to join the company. My brother did so and became chief engineer and eventually became vice president. And at that point, Tim would do just about anything that my brother asked him. Eventually, my brother became president and CEO of Tim's company. At his decease, Tim transferred ownership of the company to his two daughters, and one of whom is my brother's wife. Now, the point of this story is what we might call triangulation. Tim might have given my brother, when he first came out of college, the time of day, but little else, before he met his daughter. But after he met and married his daughter, Tim gave my brother, well, pretty much whatever he asked, not because he was my brother or a Noland or a graduate of Cal Poly, but because he had married his beloved daughter. This sort of triangulation is why you can ask the Father anything in Jesus' name. Apart from Jesus, the Father, if he met you someday, might give you the time of day, but little else. But if you fit the criteria of verse 27, where Jesus said, "You have loved me and believe that I came from God," if that fits you, then the Father will give you whatever you ask, not because of your merits or who you are individually, but because you have embraced and hold fast to his beloved Son. And that is why the Father said at Jesus' baptism, so everybody could hear, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Luke 3:22. The Father wanted people to know that Jesus is his beloved Son, so that they may draw close to him and so earn the Father's favor. The Father loves all baptized believers who love Jesus. The Father wants to do the very best for them because they are the dear disciples of his beloved Son, Jesus. Now, having clarified to whom and through whom you should pray, we should spend a few minutes about talking about when and how you should pray. If you are a Christian, you should above all pray your prayers in church here, together with your fellow Christians. This includes the liturgy, which is a series of prayers, and many of the hymns that includes prayers in their verses. You should also pray in the morning, when you arise from sleep, at table when you begin and finish a meal, and again in the evening when you go to sleep. You can see these instructions in Luther's Small Catechism. You also may pray throughout the day through silent prayers, especially when you are in immediate danger or are fearful, sad, or angry. You may pour out your heart with tears and cries to your Father through Jesus' name, and he will hear you, just as a loving parent hears the cries of their dear children. Now, in the matter of how to pray, well, Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer with its seven petitions. And you can go for its meaning again to the Small Catechism. Here we just summarize what it means. In the first petition, "Hallowed be thy name," we pray for the precious gospel and for all faithful pastors, while praying against those who oppose the gospel, such as schismatics, heretics, unbelievers, Jews, Muslims, atheists, etc. In the second petition, "Thy kingdom come," we pray that the power of the devil and death may end, through God establishing his kingdom among us and all men by means of his word and sacraments and Holy Spirit. In the third petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we pray that every act of the evil human will, the wicked world, and the devil's will might be thwarted by God's will in this world. In the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. We pray for all persons in authority, for parents, for wife and children, for food, for a bountiful harvest, for peace, and for all that we need to support this body and life. In the fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray that God would be gracious to us, not punish us as we deserve, but grant us grace from day to day, to live a holy life, to help us to do his will, and live at peace with one and all. In the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. We pray that God would come to everyone in distress, not leaving them under the power of Satan or the power of their lusts and the anger of their hearts, but relieve them through his word and Holy Spirit. In the seventh petition, but deliver us from evil, we pray for that blessed moment when God, by his grace, will deliver us from this veil of tears and save us eternally. Everything that might trouble or concern us, or on the contrary, might serve our good, is addressed and comprehended in the Lord's Prayer. Even so, it is vital that next to the Word of God, we Christians devote ourselves to prayer. For Jesus promises in our Gospel that his Father will hear our prayer and give it to us according to his good and gracious will, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name, amen.